Hello and welcome to another episode of Grumpy Old Gay Men and Their Dogs. It is day 66 here in the Zen Room, episode 110. My name is Patrick Finn, and I am here with the mendacious Tommy Gibbons.
Hey, bitches.
How are you tonight, Tommy?
I'm about to come for you.
Oh, I was about to issue a public apology to you.
About the numbering?
Yes.
Excellent.
Because the last episode that we recorded, I was adamant about the episode number, and you just yielded to me, yes. And then later on I checked, and I was like, oh, fuck, this son of a bitch was right.
Yeah, I love that. That's my favorite moment ever.
So I apologize for that.
Knowing that it frustrated you is all the apology that I need.
Good to know. Good to know. So how you been otherwise?
About the same.
Yeah? Is that good or bad?
It's about the same. It's, you know, the same.
Okay, it's neither same. Here nor there.
Neither here nor there.
Comme si, comme ça.
Comme si, comme ça. Fair to Midland. Up and not crying. That's my new favorite one. Up and not crying. I think that's like some sort of Nordic country vernacular.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard that one before.
How you doing? Up and not crying. But I'm sure in whatever Scandinavian hellhole language.
What is it, Jewish Scandinavian, maybe? No. Oh, I'm up and not crying.
I'm up and I'm not crying. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, everything's about the same, you know?
Okay.
How about you?
It's been busy. First, I had to get over a cold that I had for 2 days. I haven't been sick with anything since I had COVID like 3 years ago, and I forgot what having a cold was like, and it was fucking miserable. For 2 days, I just couldn't do anything. But today, I'm feeling much, much better, thank God.
You sound a little nasal congested.
Yeah, I'm still congested and everything, but I'm definitely doing better than I was.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. And then just been busy with Tech Week this week for Rabbit Hole at South Shore Theater Experience.
Very anxious to see it.
Yeah, me too. I've never seen a production of it.
Oh, really?
No, have you?
I saw it in New York. It was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy. What you guys are putting out as, you know, your flyers and all of the
postings. The postings on Facebook and social media.
It's reminding me of a colonoscopy.
There's
one especially. That looked like, you know, I had...
Oh, it's the image you mean on the poster?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a blue one that you guys have been sending.
Yes, that's the one the theater's been using.
Okay, yeah. Then there's another one that, to me, I'm thinking it's more orange.
I think that's the one that Jess Adder posted.
Okay.
And there's a child, like, at the end of it. Yeah.
I was like, okay.
And that reminded you of a colonoscopy?
Yes. Yes, because it was down a hole.
Did they find a little child at the end of that hole?
They did. It was covered in blood.
Oh!
I spent 3 days in the hospital after a colonoscopy. For fuck's sake, that's what happened.
Oh my God!
So Jess is the wife.
I believe so. Yes, and Mark Cahill's playing
the husband.
Yep.
And Randy is the boy.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know who's all in the cast.
That kid Randy's really good, man.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing him.
He's really good. He'll break your heart. He dies really good.
Oh, okay.
Actually, he dies better than any actor I've seen live and in person.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. There's a joke that he's either naked or dead or both in every show he does. So the first time I worked with him, we were doing Into the Woods, and he played I Like to Have Milky White. Cast by a human.
Okay.
Okay. So, with Milky White's death scene, okay, the cow just suddenly drops. Boom.
Yeah.
You're supposed to kick it over and it just, you know, just drops. And
yeah.
Hits the floor. So I said, just drop. And the kid did it and I was like, are you okay? Then he did, what's the, Spring Awakening? I think he committed suicide by shooting himself.
Yeah.
He actually flew himself backwards and landed on... The kid can die great. He's a good dyer.
Good to know.
He's a good dyer. Dopey-ass kid, but he's good at dying.
Okay.
And, you know, when you're 17 and cute, you can be naked
you
all you
can
want.
Get away with that.
Go ahead.
You
naked.
Can get away with
that. But he was naked. They just did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and he was not naked, but boxer shorts, standing on a box with his arms spread out wide.
Did he play Billy Bibbit?
No.
Oh, okay. He played one of the...
One of the... He didn't play Billy Bibbit probably because he was involved with Rabbit Hole. He didn't want to take.
Okay.
So yeah, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to see it Thursday with Arlene.
All right, excellent. Good to know Arlene's coming too. Love Arlene.
Yeah, well, Arlene is a gift.
She's the fairy godmother of Long Island theater, as far as I'm concerned.
And she and Marion have a long-standing friendship. It's not,
oh my God, yeah. Well, you got to think back to Broad Hall when Broad Hall Arena Theater. It's over how many years? How many decades? You know.
Anyway,
goes back a long time. But anyway, I wanted to give you an update on a story that we discussed on our last episode.
Okay.
And that was about the trans student Next Benedict.
Okay.
Who died the day after a fight in school.
Right.
Well, in response to a formal complaint filed by the Human Rights Campaign, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights has initiated an investigation into Owosso Public Schools. That's where the incident took place.
Okay.
And it will aim to address the Oklahoma Schools District's response to harassment that may have contributed to the death of Benedict.
Okay.
So that was some good news.
Is there any... Well, yeah, there is some doubt, right? They haven't released a cause of death for this.
Well, that's the thing. What had happened was the police report, the police statement that they issued said that the preliminary autopsy results said that the results indicated that she did not die as a result of trauma. Okay. That was from a preliminary result. The news media then translated that to, she did not die as a result of this fight.
Right.
We don't know that yet, because not all the formal tests have been completed yet. But that got twisted somehow.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But in the meantime, a group of golden oldies we haven't heard from a long time, the Westboro Baptist Church, they protested today at the high school where the incident took place.
Okay.
Haven't heard from them in a dog's age.
Well, he died.
Fred Phelps died, yes. But
he was, I mean, it was his family.
But he was excommunicated from the church near the end of his life.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
From Westboro?
Yeah. Near the end, they think during his last year he possibly had dementia.
I remember this.
And supposedly he made some like conciliatory gestures to the Rainbow House that was set up across the street from the Westboro Church compound.
Okay. I love somebody who does something like that. I love that.
Right?
Are they gay even? The people who own that house?
I don't know if it's gay or whatever it is, but they just bought it and they painted the house in rainbow colors just in opposition to the church.
Right. Rainbow colors.
Yeah. So he was excommunicated from the church. Okay. But then his daughter, I think, was it Shirley Phelps Roper or Shirley Roper Phelps? I'm not sure. I think she took over basically running the church.
Okay.
And I saw the video today of the protest. It's basically about
the same.
10 to 15. You can see her for a brief moment in the video. And in the meantime, across the street, there's this other group called the Rainbow Parasols or something like that?
Okay.
That have these rainbow umbrellas set up. And there was a whole line of those people across the street from them.
Okay.
And that was the extent of the protests.
Without Fred, the organization doesn't mean anything.
No. I mean, they haven't been in the headlines for years now.
Yeah.
So they saw this as like, wow, you're going to take advantage of this crime
with the signs,
to put yourself back in.
With like the same signs?
Oh, it was anti-trans signs, anti-gay signs, but anti-abortion signs.
The graphics were the same as they
were. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Yep. Yeah, nothing changed.
Nothing like a calling card. All right. Welcome back, Westboro.
Yes. And I have another story to update for us.
Oh, God.
You remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about this trans student who was cast in the lead male role of a school's production of Oklahoma.
This was a while ago.
Yeah. And the school basically removed not only him, but other students who are not playing roles of their gender, telling his parents that it would only cast students born as females in female roles and students born in males in male roles. But after public outcry and the national media spotlight was put on the school, the administrators reversed their decision.
They just did that with the Laramie Project.
I was going to talk about that later on, This Week in Fascism.
Like right now.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Just happened today. Yeah, I was going to talk about that later on.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, I'm going to cover more of that later on. But I guess for now, we will go on to our first segment. Oh, I'm going to come. Good for you, girl. Yes, it's time for heavy petting.
All right, where do we go?
I don't know if you watched two Mondays ago, Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
I have been watching the Jon Stewart on The Daily Show on the regular.
Okay, did you see the eulogy he delivered about his dog, Dipper? And it was such a moving statement he made. Oh, my. And then he started crying on air.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
Too much.
It really was. It was really so touching what he did.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Well, the shelter where he adopted the dog from, it's called Animal Haven. It's in, I guess it's in New York City. After that aired, they've been getting donations. As of when this was reported last Friday, they had received donations just shy of $50,000.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing? All because of that eulogy he delivered for his dog.
And it was...
And they said, because this was done in the memory of Dipper, we're going to use all that money for the care of dogs.
Great.
Because they house both dogs and cats at this shelter.
Probably the occasional lizard. All right.
So that was really good news,
That was... At first, I wasn't sure, like, where he was going.
I wasn't sure if he was serious or not. And then I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to turn sad.
And when it
and then they show the picture of the dog, and it's a three-legged dog. And I was like, oh, my God.
I can't. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. It was a beautiful moment.
Heart-wrenching. And it was cool because it was like, I've never seen a public person do that. Exactly that. Eulogize a dog to the point. It went on. It was like a 3-minute segment.
Yeah.
It was
that was like the whole closing segment.
It was the closing. Yeah. Right before your moment of zen.
Yep.
Yeah. It was beautiful. But it struck me that I had never seen anybody do that.
Yeah.
Not Oprah, not Barbara.
No.
None of these dog people.
No. No. Never seen that done before.
It was incredible.
Yeah. It really was.
I'm so glad he's back, even if it is only one night a week. It's a good night, though, because you got Rachel.
Yes.
And then...
It's a good combo.
Yeah.
Definitely a good combo. But it's also a reminder, feel free to donate money to pet shelters, please. They could use the money.
Unbelievable.
These animals cost a lot of money for care and upkeep and everything and medical care. So please feel free to donate. And now moving on, we return once again to our Canine Compendium, our Dictionary of Dogs.
All right, here we go.
And we're here with the letter A again.
This is the third time through.
Yes.
Okay, so A. A.
A.
A. American hound, American Staffire hound dog.
No.
No. The Armenian rat hound.
No.
No. A for dogs.
A for dogs.
A for dogs. Afghan hound.
No. Close, though. Very close. You got the A and the F right.
Okay.
This is called the Africanus.
Okay. Sounds like a tooth. God, just my Africanus.
Well, it's a combination of the word Africa and the Latin word canis.
Canis.
So they made it Africanus.
Africanus.
But it's a dog found in southern Africa. Would you like to see a picture of it?
I always do.
That is the Africanus.
I wouldn't think that was a dog.
Right? But in other pictures, I mean, it does.
That's a dog.
And here, there are two of them together. There.
Yeah.
It comes in all different colors, as you can see.
Yeah.
It's about 20 to 24 inches tall. It's also noted for having a black patch on the outside of its tail.
Okay. Why?
Well, in a ancestor wolf, there used to be a gland in that section of the tail.
Okay, that's gross.
So they think that may be some remnant of that gland.
Okay.
The dogs, they believe, descended from the indigenous dogs that descended from Egypt. And then that was like about 6,000 years ago. And then they eventually spread out. And this particular dog reached southern Africa about the 6th century A.D.
Wow. That's a hell of a walk.
Damn right.
Jeez.
But they have been used to help herd sheep, goats, and cattle, guard against predators, and help their human companions in the hunt.
Okay.
Good for that. So that's the story of the Africanus.
The Africanus. Africanus. Africanus.
We now move on to our next segment.
Happy birthday. Many happy returns. A very happy birthday.
Yes, it's time for today's birthdays.
Who's dead?
It's only one birthday today because it's a big one, I think.
Okay.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Yes.
What's today's date?
Today is March 6th.
March 6th.
Yes. Okay. He was born March 6th in the year 1475.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
He was an Italian sculptor, painter, architect, and poet. He was born in the Republic of Florence. His work was inspired by models from classical antiquity and had a lasting influence on Western art.
Is it Da Vinci or is it Michelangelo?
It's Michelangelo. Or by his full name, Michelangelo di Lodovico Buonarroti Simoni.
You just took some of the most beautiful sounds that the human voice can make.
And mangled them.
And just destroyed them. Okay, Michelangelo, I'm a big fan. David?
Yes, David and the Pietà were both sculpted before he even turned 30 years old.
Now, I have a story about the Pietà.
Ah, do you? Let's hear this story.
I saw it live in person.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay.
It's in Rome.
Yes.
It's in St. Peter's. Is it St. Peter or St. Paul in the Vatican?
Yeah, St. Peter.
St. Peter's?
Yeah.
Everything about that place is just huge and impressive. Everything. But when you walk in, you look to your right, and there it is behind a sheet of glass in a little alcove.
Okay.
And it's smaller than you think it is.
Really?
I thought it was. It's not small by any means.
I mean, like, how tall is it? It's on a pedestal, right?
It's on it. Well, no. I think it... Well, yes, it sits on a pedestal, but it's like 4 feet high.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's two. Yeah, it's at least 3 or 4 feet high.
Okay.
It's seeing that thing. Actually, I had a physical response.
Really?
Because I had seen... I never saw David. I think I
Oh, you didn't see the David.
I didn't see the David, but I that would
How come you didn't see the David?
Because David's not in London. David's not in Rome.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, David's in Actually, David was commissioned to sit on the top of a dome.
Okay, Michelangelo designed as well.
And if you look at David, the perspective looking at him dead on is wrong. The body perspective, the proportions are wrong because he was meant to be 40 feet above your head. So he knew that, and that's how he sculpted it. What else you got to tell me about
now, that? Did you go to the Sistine Chapel?
No. Actually, we arrived the Tuesday after Easter.
Okay.
The chairs were still set up in the square.
Okay.
We were in Rome for a night, and then we went to the other side of the boot. Anyway, it's an impressive thing to see, even if it is only 2 or 3 feet tall. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
That's
a fucking marble. And David is even more impressive. David is a masterpiece.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's just crazy. There's no questioning it. But for those who don't know, Michelangelo painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, which took him 4 years to complete.
What's that movie? The Agony and
the Ecstasy. The Agony and the Ecstasy with Charlton Heston. Yeah, he played Michelangelo in that. Good movie. But at the age of 71, he became the architect of St. Peter's Basilica, and he transformed the plans at the western end so it would be to his design. And like I said before, he designed the dome, which was completed after he died in 1564.
Yeah, I remember.
Now, as to his sexuality, everyone assumes he was gay. Now, they don't know, they don't have any record of him having any physical relationships with anyone. Everyone attributes his sexuality to his poetry, because he wrote more than 300 sonnets and madrigals, and the longest one was for a young Roman patrician named Tommaso de Cavalieri, who was 23 years old when Michelangelo first met him at the age of 57.
Oh, dear.
So that's what they think, based on that he might have been gay.
Yeah, he might, yeah.
But he died at the age of 88 and was buried in Florence.
Yeah, I think Florence is where David is.
Oh, okay. That would make sense, I guess. That's where I think one of Da Vinci's, I think The Last Supper is. I think that's in Florence, too. I'm not sure.
There was supposed to be a painting duel between Michelangelo and...
Oh, it was definitely a rivalry between him and Da Vinci.
There was space reserved for them to compete.
Really?
Yeah. They were it never happened. Well, one of them did it. I don't remember the details. But they were given, like, a mural. Do a mural here. We're going to figure out who's the best. So you paint your mural and you paint your mural. And I don't know if they had to follow, you know, the mural has to be religious. I don't know what sort of restraints were put on that.
Yeah.
If it was just go ahead and paint whatever the fuck you want. But it never happened. It sounds like a musical to me, too. It does. Why didn't it happen?
I don't know. Don't know.
What were each of them going to paint? One of them had at least started it.
I think Michelangelo is the overall better artist, but Da Vinci was a man ahead of his time, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's known for more than just his art, for all the other things that he worked on as well. He
was Da Vinci's mind was doing other things.
He was like a Ben Franklin of his time,
crazy.
You know?
It's crazy. Yeah, he designed the helicopter.
Yeah.
You know, the drawing of the guy with the four legs and the forearm.
He did autopsies on bodies to learn about the human body.
Yeah,
you know?
He wasn't allowed to do that.
No, he wasn't.
They
no,
didn't
he
like wasn't. That.
No, they didn't. Yes, so to Michelangelo, we say...
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
That's enough of you girls.
You always fuck up that fucking...
I know, oh, I know. We now move on to our next segment. Yes, it's time for Bring Out Your Dead.
I'm not dead yet.
And this is a sad death. She died at the age of 7 today of rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, dear.
She was an artist known for her art was classified as abstract expressionism.
She was 7 years old?
7 years old.
And she was an abstract expressionist?
Yes, and her name was Picasso. She was a pig.
I'm going to kill you.
Let me tell you the story.
I don't want to hear the story.
She was born on a farm in South Africa, and she was rescued by a woman named Joanne Lefson in 2016 and taken to this farm sanctuary in South Africa that she had founded that year. And when she first had the pig, she said that the pig would destroy everything in its stall except some paintbrushes. So eventually, she was able to teach the pig to start using the brushes and to start painting.
Why?
As positive reinforcement for good behavior. That if you did something with the brush and put something on the paper, she would be rewarded for good behavior as opposed to her bad behavior.
Okay.
And then by dipping the brush in different colors, she began to create these colorful abstract paintings, which the woman then sold to raise funds for the farm sanctuary. And she signed each of her works by dipping her nose tip into beetroot ink and touching it onto the canvas. 3 of her most famous works are Peacock, Snowman, and Mouse, each of which sold for $5,000 in 2021. She also did a portrait of Prince Harry.
Well, that's easy.
And that was sold for £2,300 in 2021.
All right.
Yes.
Picasso.
Picasso.
Is dead?
Yes. Died today at the age of 7.
All right. So look on your grocery shelves in the next week or two. For some pig bacon.
Oh.
Bacon.
I don't think the owner's going to let that happen.
Why not?
Well, she rescued him from a farm where she would have been killed.
But then she gave it a life and it lived its full life and the pig's going to die eventually.
Yeah, but I think she was also used to promote veganism and vegetarianism.
A pig?
Yes.
A painting pig?
Yes.
To promote vegetarianism?
Yes.
Okay.
So to Picasso, we say, rest in peace, Picasso. Thanks for your artwork.
Rest in slop.
I guess then we'll just have to move on to our next segment. Today in history!
Announced closing notice.
What's that?
Spamalot.
Spamalot had a closing notice. Days of Wine and Roses had a closing notice.
Days of Wine and Roses was
But that was a limited run anyway.
It was only ever going to be 8 weeks.
Yeah, that was a limited run anyway.
So, yeah. I can't believe it's closing so fast.
Spamalot, from what people... I know someone who said it, and they like, I saw it the first time with the original cast, yeah. And then I saw it the second time, and it wasn't the same, they said. For some reason, just wasn't the same show.
It's not. But I saw the original cast, and I loved it. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
I think the fact that it was known personalities in the cast helped sell that show.
Tim Curry.
Big old Tim Curry, David Hyde Pierce, Hank Azaria.
Do you love how David Hyde Pierce's entire career now has been on stage?
And it's fantastic.
It's awesome.
He's great
on
stage.
He is great on stage.
He really is great on stage. But yeah, I think that helped a lot with those having those personalities.
Yes, yeah. It's funny. It's no great art, but it's fucking funny, man.
Right? But anyway, today in history, this happened today in 1836 in Texas.
Okay, 1836 in Texas.
Yes.
Can't be good.
No, it wasn't.
It's the Alamo.
You are correct.
All right, good.
Today was the last day of a 13-day siege that started on February 23rd. That culminated in the Mexican forces attacking the Spanish mission that had been converted into a fort. The Mexican forces numbered about 2,000 against the 185 to 260 Texas rebels who were fighting there. And back then, the Mexico president, who was also the general of this army, had a policy of taking no prisoners. So just about everyone at the fort was slaughtered.
Okay.
And of course, this became a rallying point for not only Texas, but for Americans and to come over to Texas and to help out in the revolution.
Remember the Alamo.
And then about a month later, on April 21st, 1836, at the Battle of San Jacinto, the Mexican army surrendered after a battle. And then Texas became its own republic for a number of years joining the United States.
Right.
But I was looking into what had led to this revolution in the first place. At the time, Mexico's government before this revolution was more decentralized. So there was a lot more self-rule over certain areas.
Yeah.
That changed with the new president, Santa Anna, and it became a more centralized government.
Okay.
And they placed restrictions on immigration, and they also banned slavery. And there were a lot of slaveholders who came over from the United States into Texas with their slaves.
Right, so they weren't happy.
So they were not happy. So that's a lot of what this revolution was about.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, you know, it's kind of a mixed blessing, you know? Now what the point is, like, can we give Texas back to Mexico?
Mexico's like, no thanks. After what you did to it?
I know, right?
I think it's the heat. I think it's that dry heat that white people can't tolerate. I do. I'm sorry. It's just true. They get crazy. Look at Florida.
Well, they have a wet heat down there.
Yes, but it's still too hot for white people.
Yes, it's too hot for people, period. Anyway, today, on March 6, 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court issued this infamous decision.
It's not Brown versus Board of Education.
No, that's about 100 years later.
Yeah, it's got to be... I want to say Dobbs. I know it's not Dobbs.
No, Dobbs was a recent abortion case.
That was the recent one, yeah.
But it does begin with a D.
Yeah, it does. I can't think of it.
It's known as the Dred Scott decision. For those of you who don't know the story, Dred Scott was a slave whose owners had taken him from Missouri, which was a slave-holding state, into Illinois, and then later the Wisconsin territory, where slavery was illegal. So when his owners later brought him back to Missouri, Scott sued for his freedom and claimed that because he had been taken into free U.S. territory, he had automatically been freed and was legally no longer a slave. But the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 7-2 decision, ruled against Scott, saying that people of African descent are not included and were not intended to be included under the word citizens in the Constitution, and can therefore claim none of the rights and privileges which that instrument provides for and secures to citizons of the United States.
Yeah, we're real proud of that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, after the Civil War, because this probably led to an underlying reason why the Civil War happened, but after the Civil War, this ruling was superseded by the passage of the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, and the 14th Amendment as well. Is a guaranteed citizenship to all persons born or naturalized in the United States. As to Dred Scott himself, he was eventually legally emancipated, but he died about a year later from tuberculosis.
Okay, how old was he?
I don't know. That I do not know.
Dred Scott, huh?
Yeah, but it's considered the worst decision in the Supreme Court's history.
It's pretty big. It's up there.
Yeah.
It's the top three anyway.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That Korematsu, which kept the Japanese Americans in camps.
Was really bad.
Yep.
Really bad. And,
yeah. So that's today in history.
Okay.
So we'll now move
Very
on.
Depressing day.
Right?
It's awful.
We now move on to our next segment.
What day is it? Could you please tell me? What day is it? How could you Tuesday?
Yes, it's time for What Day Is It?
Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
No, but you're on the right track, actually.
Chocolate Ice Cream Day.
No, now you're going off track.
Chocolate Chip Cookie Dough Ice Cream Day.
No. Today is National Oreo Cookie Day.
Okay.
It was introduced by Nabisco as the Oreo Biscuit on March 6, 1912, produced in a factory on 9th Avenue between 15th and 16th Street in Manhattan.
What does that occupy now?
I don't know what's occupied now, but the block is now known as Oreo Way. Block of 9th Avenue.
Oh, I bet there's a CVS somewhere over there.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. There is a CVS everywhere. Yeah. But it was launched as an imitation of the original Hydrox cookie, which was introduced earlier in 1908, but became more popular than Hydrox.
Well, Hydrox is a really bad name. Like, overall, like, food items shouldn't have X's in their name. You know what I mean? It just, yes. It's a bad Hydrox. Sounds like something you pour on an open wound. Doesn't sound like an Oreo. He's like, oh, that's yum.
Well, Hydrox is also known to have a less sweet filling and a crunchier cookie shell, which gets less soggy when dipped in milk.
Whatever. It's gross.
But Oreos became more popular.
Okay.
What else can I tell you about Oreos?
What's stamped on the crack, like on the cookie?
Well, the original stamp had the laurel leaves and the name Oreo printed on the cookie.
Okay.
And there's a hypothesis that the name Oreo came, I'm sorry, I'm trying to read this really fast, that Oreo, the name had botanical origins, that there's a laurel plant called the Oreo Daphne.
Oreo Daphne.
Yes, which is a type of laurel. So that's why they had laurel leaves on the cookie itself. Yeah.
They used to make crowns out of laurel leaves to give to the winners of, like, death matches.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Crown of Caesar wore.
Ooh.
I think
crown of laurels?
Laurel leaves, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It easily bended. I think that's why.
Maybe.
Good leaf, you know, spread out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Distribution.
In 2006, Nabisco and its parent company, Kraft Foods, eliminated trans fat in the Oreo cookies.
See, it's more anti-trans.
Different kind of trans.
That's why you're going for your Hydrox.
Yeah. In 2012, Oreo posted an advertisement displaying an Oreo cookie with rainbow-colored cream to celebrate Pride Month.
Yeah.
The cookie itself was fictional. It was never made. But, of course, it caused controversy.
Yeah.
And Kraft Foods responded that they have a proud history of celebrating diversity and inclusiveness. We feel the Oreo is a fun reflection of our values.
All right.
So good for them.
It's a fucking cookie.
Did you know 1 6-pack of Oreos contains 270 calories? Which means there are 45 calories in each one. Of those 45 calories, 27 come from carbs, 16.5 come from fat, and 1.5 come from protein. Unfortunately, the term Oreo has also been used as a racial slur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aimed at a black person who they deem to be acting as a white person.
Ergo,
black on the outside, white on the inside.
Or mulattoes. Are you allowed to say that? Can I say that?
I think so, yeah. Mulattoes is a proper term.
Okay.
It's not a derogatory term.
No,
it's not as far as I know.
Yeah, okay. I've heard it used in that respect.
What, the term Oreo? Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a good term.
No.
In fact, it was recently used as in 2021 when Republican Senator Tim Scott, who's a black Republican, gave the response to the State of the Union address that year.
Okay.
And the chair of this county Democratic Party basically said he was an Oreo.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So it's not like this term is still not in use. It obviously still is.
Yeah. The great ones never die.
Yeah. So that's the story of the Oreo cookie.
All right.
Aren't you glad you learned that?
Yeah.
We now move on to our next segment. Yes, it's time for a look into my briefs.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe you should say, I'll look into my briefs and then play the sound.
I'm going to change it up a little bit. Usually I always do it the way you said.
Okay.
Yeah. This
okay.
is the first time I think I've ever played the sound cue first and then said what it was.
Okay.
Either way, they know.
Yeah, now everybody knows. And, you know, if they didn't drive their car off the road.
Anyway, I was going to talk about the Supreme Court's recent decision, which restored Trump to the Colorado ballot.
I think it's a legitimate decision. It's not for the states to decide to make this decision.
Yes, I agree with you on that, as all the 9 justices. That one state cannot unilaterally decide on its own to bar someone from federal office. That's the duty of the federal government. But then a five justice majority went further.
Yes, they did.
And they said that only Congress can pass legislation to enforce this clause of the Constitution.
Okay.
Now, there are other sections of the 14th Amendment, such as due process, equal protection, freedom from slavery. We haven't had to pass laws ensuring those. But now the court is saying that Congress needs to pass a law first before a person can be barred as a candidate from federal office.
So the law would have to be basically, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to, or does it give the states the right to bar somebody?
It basically takes it out of the state's purview altogether, which was fine. Like I said, states can't unilaterally do that.
Right.
But now they're saying that the only way a person can be barred from federal office is if Congress enacts legislation specifically barring that person from federal office.
So individually, one at a time, Congress has to say, no, you can't run.
Yeah.
You can run. No, you can't run. Congress says so. So it's not like Congress can say, if you are guilty of rising up against the American government, you are barred. They can't say that.
That's the thing. They totally avoided the issue of whether or not Trump was an insurrectionist. Totally didn't touch that issue at all, which may be good or bad, depending on your perspective.
Yeah. Just not telling what those fucks are going
to
do.
But like I said, to limit how this clause can be administered, it's like, the clause doesn't call for that.
No.
It's self-evident.
Yeah.
If you're an insurrectionist, you're barred from office.
So why would they go to that extra degree to put out a separate opinion?
Exactly. That's what the... Well, because there were four justices in the minority. There was Amy Coney Barrett, who wrote her own concurrence saying that, yes, I agree with the judgment of preventing the state from doing this, but I don't agree with the further step it took in requiring this of Congress to pass legislation first.
All right.
The other three went even further, saying this is not in the amendment at all. No other section of the amendment requires legislation to enforce it.
Right.
Theoretically, if the Democrats won both houses of Congress in this upcoming election, they could then pass legislation barring Trump from office.
Yes. That's the only way you could bar Trump from office.
Yep.
All right. So now you're making it an absolute political game.
Yeah. They should have just said, Colorado can't do this. And leave it at that.
Yeah.
But no, they threw this in there because they know Congress would never, ever pass such legislation. It'd be next to impossible to pass. So they're basically preventing this clause from ever being truly enforced.
Oh, I just got to... I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got distracted.
That's okay.
Tell me again.
We were talking about the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, it's bad. No, it's, you know, what are they going to do with the immunity thing?
Well, that's another thing, too, that everyone's noticing how quickly they made a decision on this case and how they're dragging out the other case. Right today, they set oral arguments on the case for April 25th.
Right. Well, no, I thought they had done that.
No, they hadn't. I think someone said April 22nd originally, but today it was reported in the news that oral arguments are going to be on April 25th.
April 25th. All right. So, and they're not going to decide before the end of the term.
Which is like June, July.
So, can Jack Smith get a case together? His cases together, but can he get from...
That's the thing. How will these trials even start before the election? If they do, will they be completed before the election? So, no. It's like, yeah, you made this decision real fast, which helped Trump. But this other decision, which may not help Trump, you're going to drag your ass on.
Which I think tells you that they can't help Trump with that decision.
No.
They're going to help him as much as they can.
They're going to try to narrow it down and try to find some loophole or exception or something. They're going to do something. But ultimately, I don't see how they can find total immunity from criminal prosecution.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it just doesn't happen. Like I said, if it did, there was no need for Ford to pardon Nixon.
Yeah, there's no reason for a constitution.
Yeah.
I'd get more people to believe me, so forget, fuck the truth.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we now move on to our next segment. Yes, it's time for the Week in Fascism. And today, well, first I'll talk about something you mentioned earlier, and that was about the play The Laramie Project. It was being produced at the Timber Creek High School, and last Friday, the school had emailed parents to say that the play would be canceled, but did not provide any explanation. They said, "We understand it is unusual for a production change like this to take place. Students will still have an opportunity to read, discuss, and analyze the play during the school day." Then a spokesman for the school district called the Keller Independent School District.
Where is this?
This is in Texas.
Okay.
He told the news that the decision to move forward with another production was made by many stakeholders, which I don't know what the fuck that means, stakeholders. He also said that the Fort Worth School wanted to promote theater productions that create much excitement from the community, like Mary Poppins and White Christmas.
Okay.
But, as you mentioned earlier, following community backlash and an online petition with over 4,000 signatures, the school reversed its decision, and the school superintendent, Tracy Johnson, wrote that the Keller Independent School District Administration recognizes the time and effort that has been put into the adapted version of the Laramie Project by students and staff members. Upon further consideration of this, the administration has decided to proceed as previously planned with the May performance of the Laramie Project.
Good. But there's wording in there that makes you they with an altered version?
Adapted version.
Adapted.
Adapted. Maybe they left out some of the harsher language. Who knows?
Okay.
I don't know. Well, maybe there is. I don't know if there's a school version of the Laramie Project.
No, there's just the play.
So now moving on to our next story in This Week in Fascism, we have to talk about Trump and the Republican Party. Last night was Super Tuesday. Trump basically swept that.
Swept the whole thing.
Except Vermont. Vermont went for Nikki Haley, which I thought was amusing.
Yeah.
But he's pretty much, we knew it already, he was going to be the nominee. And Mitch McConnell, who's now retiring from the Senate, remember after January 6th what happened? He stood on the Senate floor and he made that whole speech condemning Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, today he came out and endorsed Trump. They said, well, he's a Republican Party nominee, so I'm going to endorse him.
Okay.
And I was like, you hypocritical old fuck.
Yeah, but they're all the same.
I know. But I hold him responsible for so much of the damage that's been done to this country. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Trump wants his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, to be co-chair of the Republican National Committee.
Okay. I guess there's endless ways he can...
Have you heard about this North Carolina lieutenant governor named Mark Robinson?
No.
He's now running for governor.
Of
North Carolina.
Okay.
And just put him on YouTube. The man is an anti-Semite. Holocaust denier, anti-libertarian, believes women shouldn't have the right to vote.
All right, sounds like a winner.
He's a black Republican, which is like a contradiction in terms as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
but there are plenty out there, you know? But that's what this party is now. This is no longer the party of Lincoln. It's not even the party of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
This is now a national, Christian nationalist fascist party.
That's exactly what it is.
And I think it's time that the Democrats start calling them out as such.
I don't think it's going to make any difference.
No, and that's another thing, too. Do you ever watch Jordan Klemper on The Daily Show?
I love him.
When he goes to like the Trump conventions and the rallies and everything. And he went to one recently saying, our president said this. Do you believe he said that? Oh, no, I can't believe I'm against that. Well, actually, Trump said it. And then they justify what he said.
Yeah, they back up. Yeah, it's crazy. It's just crazy. I think a lot
there is no convincing these people because they don't, they have cognitive dissonance. They know what a horrible person he is, but they want to vote for him anyway.
I think a lot of that has to do with people having a problem admitting when they're wrong. And in order to...
Well, that starts with Trump.
Yeah, but you're talking about, you know, all these other people who are following him you know, state after state after state except for Vermont. Vermont and New Hampshire.
Vermont.
There's a reason for that. You know, there's a reason all of the... they see this. They see 91 indictments. They see 91 counts. They see 4 indictments. And they still defend him. And I think a lot of it has to do with nobody likes to admit when they're wrong. And they will go to their death defending it.
Yeah. And it's scary. It really scares the hell out of me for this November. Because I don't know what the fuck's going to happen now.
It is pretty scary.
The Democrats have got to start fighting back. And they got to start now. They can't wait till fucking the summertime to do it. They got to start now.
But that's not what Democrats do.
I know. They suck at it. I think they are so bad at campaigning. That's what kills me about them. They are so bad at it.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Like, what's the problem?
Because they're so busy trying to be nice instead of fighting, you know? They want to please everybody to get those votes by putting a smiley face on. Well, sometimes you got to wipe the smile off and get your hands fucking dirty.
Yeah. I suppose that's true.
You know? You're fighting fascists here. You're not fighting Republicans. There is no moderate wing of the party anymore. That party, that wing is gone. And if they still exist, God knows who they're going to vote for. If you listen to like these people on Daily Show, they're still going to vote for Trump anyway.
Because they can't vote for Biden.
Which I just... kills me. It really kills me. It really does.
Yeah.
I think we're going to move on to our next topic then.
I think that's a good idea.
I thought so too. Yeah, it's time for We Like to Watch. And what did you watch this past week or so, Tommy?
I have been watching something on Apple TV.
Okay.
What the fuck is it? There's something on Apple TV and there's something on Netflix. On Apple TV, it was... Well, they got Napoleon, which is interesting to me. And there's something on Netflix, too, that was... that it's a series... Oh, The Octopus.
Oh, we saw that. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We like that.
I'm in the middle of that.
Okay.
Now The Octopus, yeah. I've been watching, not really at all, Alexander.
Not familiar with that.
It's Netflix and it's like Alexander the Great, but it's part reenactment and part...
Oh, okay. I saw that passing through the carousel. Yeah.
Other than that, you know, I'm going to go home tonight and watch The Swans.
Oh, yes, gotta watch that. Huge.
My RuPauls are happening. So we got RuPaul UK versus the world and RuPaul 16. So there's a good amount of RuPaul. Jon Stewart, Rachel Maddow are watching, and that's about it.
That's about it?
Yeah.
That's enough. I've been watching a lot.
Like what?
Well, first I found out there was we talked about a show a couple of weeks ago called The Tourist with Jamie Dornan.
Yes.
About the guy with amnesia.
You mentioned that.
There's a second season that came out right just now.
Lucky you.
Yeah. So we watched it. It was only 6 episodes.
Okay.
Which was okay. It all takes place in Ireland because he goes back there to learn more about who he is. Good season. It was a really good season. They even set it up for a third season.
Okay.
So I was really happy about that. So that was really good. Yeah, you mentioned Feud. Been loving that. That's been really good. It really is so good. They really just do such a great job with that, I think. Then I watched these two horror movies. One was a foreign film. I'm not sure if it was German or Spanish. It was called Old People.
Okay.
And it was about all of a sudden these old people, all who are all infirm, whatever, rising up and attacking younger people.
Okay.
It was okay. Not great. It was an... sort of novel concept. Instead of birds attacking for no known reason, now you have old people attacking for no known reason.
All right.
So that was okay. We also watched this other movie on Netflix called The Silence. It had Stanley Tucci in it.
Okay.
And it's all about Stanley Tucci is a father of this family, and he has a daughter who recently became deaf some years ago. And all of a sudden, these prehistoric bat-like creatures are unearthed from the earth and start invading all over. And they're blind and they attack by sound. It was basically a ripoff of that movie, A Quiet Place. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Or Bird Box. And that time they couldn't look at the monsters or they would die or whatever.
Right.
Watching both of these movies, it's like first we're trying to figure out like who are going to be the victims. Because after a while, these movies just become so formulaic It's like, oh yeah, this one's going to die later on. This one's definitely going to die. Oh, this one's a dick. You know they're going to die. And I'm just finding this generic blandness to these movies now on Netflix and other social media.
They're just
it's the same thing over and over again. Yeah. The haunted house, the possessed people, the zombies. It's the same thing over and over again. It's like, enough.
Maybe it's too much television.
At least, you know, I'm finding more foreign stuff to watch, which I think is at least more interesting and better than the American-made crap that we're seeing. So, yeah, I'm just getting really, really disappointed in it. I'm at the point, it's like, do we get rid of Netflix? You know, I'm just getting so tired of the crap.
Well, this, you know, yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? And then lastly, our friend Sheila Barksdale turned us on to a TV show on ABC. She kept telling us about, oh, I gotta go home, watch this show called Will Trent.
Okay.
It's all about this police detective. We watched the whole first season already. All about this police detective. He was brought up in a, I guess in an orphanage or whatever, with another, this other woman who later becomes a cop as well. He ends up working for, like, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. She becomes a local city cop or whatever in Atlanta. And just traces their past crossing and everything. And the various crimes. He's like a super sleuth and everything. It's actually really good. And the guy playing it, Ramon Rodriguez, is a handsome-looking devil.
Okay. That helps.
Yes, it does. Helpful. Very helpful.
Handsome-looking devils.
Yes. So we've been watching the second season of that now. It's in the middle of that. And we're watching the final season of Young Sheldon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I liked Young Sheldon until I stopped watching it.
Well, we just found out they're going to do a spin-off series of his brother, George, with his wife.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know if that's going to be a good idea, you know?
Georgie's a hottie.
I know, but just stop pumping the same thing again, you know? Give us something new.
I guess. I mean, you got something that works. It's the same with what you're saying about the movies. You know, the movies are all the same.
Yeah.
And I guess it's, you know, you find something that works, and you just do it until...
And when you find something that works, they do it to death.
Because it works.
Yeah, well, to an extent. I mean, look at the whole superhero movies, you know? All the ones that are turning out in the past couple of years have been crap.
I guess. I don't watch them, but...
I have, and there are a lot of them are crap. There's just a lack of creativity sparked by fear of losing money.
Losing money, yeah.
You know?
You got to answer for that.
It's, you know, the same thing on Broadway, too, with all these derivative musicals.
The jukeboxes, you mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm interested in Lampica.
I heard there's going to be a Huey Lewis jukebox musical. I was like, why? Yeah. Why do we need that?
Lampica.
What's Lampica?
Lampica is a new musical.
Really?
About Lampica.
Oh, okay.
So...
Who's Lampica?
She's an artist.
Oh, I'm not familiar with her.
Yeah, she's a She-Beast artist.
Okay.
From back in the day. Very deco. Very... You've actually... Absolutely seen the images. Big, very broad, colorful, big red lips, big, you know, hats with brims.
Okay.
That sort of Google Webber for a second. And there's a musical about, I don't know why, but it's not a jukebox.
How do I spell Limpica?
L-E-M.
L-E-M.
P-I-C-A.
Oh, it's actually C-K-A.
Okay. Limpica. But yeah, so you see that's the kind of art she did.
Okay. Oh yeah, all right. I'm familiar with her work then.
It's very art deco and very broad.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, characters. So evidently, you know, her life is worth a musical, but that's original.
Yeah. Well, there are two off-Broadway shows I want to see. One is the new Charles Bush play, Ibsen's Ghost.
Okay.
And there's another one, it's like ending in May, I think, called Oh Mary. It's a comedy about Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah.
And I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be really funny.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, maybe when that script becomes available, we'll do it at the theater.
Yeah.
So that's it for We Like to Watch this week. We now move on to our next segment.
God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Yes, it's time for Stupid People.
Okay.
And this time we turn to the world of college sports.
Why, we don't usually go there?
No, we don't. But I read the story and I was like, this is stupid. There was a senior named Owen Lloyd at North Carolina State University. He won the 16 Wait, the 1,650-yard freestyle title at the Atlantic Coast Conference at the end of February. But he was stripped of the title because right after he finished, he climbed into the lane of his teammate next door who came in second, who was already done. Basically, you know, just like high five him or whatever. So the meet's head referee implemented Rule 2, Section 5 of the NCAA rulebook, which states that a swimmer who changes lanes during a heat shall be disqualified.
Oh, my God.
Because not all the swimmers in the other lanes have finished yet. Though they disqualified this guy.
So stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Even the color commentator, this woman named Amy Van Dyken Ruin, she's like, you had backstrokers diving into the pool. According to the rules, they're supposed to go in feet first. Why wasn't that rule enforced? And this rule is. So, to that fucking asshole referee.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
I mean, technically, he was probably right by the rules, but it's so stupid.
Yeah. Come on.
And it almost seems like he's got it out for this guy.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's just ridiculous. Anyway, Julie Andrews, take us away.
Raindrops on roses, whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Thank you, Julie. Yes, it's time for five faves.
All right.
And tonight's category was name our five favorite trial movies.
Trial movies.
Yes.
Judgment at Nuremberg.
That is my number one choice on my list.
All right.
Judgment at Nuremberg.
Yeah.
Great fucking movie.
Yeah, it is.
With two of the best performances by Judy Garland and Montgomery Clift.
Yeah, he was so handsome.
Montgomery Clift, yeah. Well, by then he was losing his looks due to his alcoholism, the car accident he had years earlier.
Yeah.
And the story goes that he could not remember his lines on this. And the director's like, look, you know who this character is and what he's trying to say. Just say it in your own words.
Yeah, don't worry about the script.
So that performance, I mean, plus he was an active alcoholic. The only time he wasn't drinking was on set.
Okay.
So that's a real performance out of him of playing that role. It's incredible. And Judy Garland, oh my God, it's one of the best roles she ever played.
Yeah.
Just amazing performance. And great cast. Spencer Tracy, Maximilian Schell, who won the Best Actor Oscar. Marlena Dietrich. Richard Widmark. Even William Shatner is in the movie.
Yeah, he's the bailiff.
Yeah, great movie. So that's our number one choice. What's your second choice?
Witness for the Prosecution.
Ooh, I almost put that on my list, but I had too many other ones I wanted to put ahead of it.
All right.
That's with Charles Laughton. Elsa Lancaster, right?
Yes.
And Marlena Dietrich.
Definitely Charles Laughton. I don't know.
She was married to him. I don't know if she was in that.
Okay. Yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Nice twist at the end.
Did it on stage with the kids at Winbrook. It went well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen a play production of that.
It's good.
Yeah.
It went well.
Good to know. Number two on my list, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, I would say I would agree.
Right? Incredible movie.
Yeah.
Gregory Peck gives one of the most incredible performances. That whole closing statement he does. And at the very end, when the verdict comes in, and all the white people have left, and all the black people up in the galley are standing.
Yeah. Stand up.
As the exit. Yeah.
Why is everybody standing? Your papa's passing.
Yeah. Great trial movie. So I'm assuming that's your number two?
That's my number three.
Number three. So my number three, Inherit the Wind.
Yeah.
Even though I have some issues with the movie, it's not factually accurate in a lot of ways. That whole thing with the wife testifying, that, well, the girlfriend or whatever, yeah, that never happened.
Yeah, well, you have to do it.
But it's a great, you're watching two adversaries on trial, especially when Colonel Brady goes on the witness stand. And that whole scene makes the whole movie worthwhile.
When we were in eighth grade,
this man wants the same right as a sponge.
As a sponge. We read that play in eighth grade, and we read it out loud in English class, and I played Drummond.
Okay.
I played
Henry Drummond, the Spencer Tracy role? Or Colonel Brady in the...
No, it was Spencer Tracy.
Okay.
Yeah. And I loved it. I loved the play. I loved the words. I loved the... I don't know that I've ever seen the movie.
You've never seen the movie?
It's impossible that I have not seen that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's with Dick Sargent.
Yeah, Dick York is in that. He plays Scopes.
Scopes. Right. Okay. So, yeah, I have seen it. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's my number three.
My number four?
Your number four.
I'm going to go with Inherit the Wind.
So you're piggybacking on my choice.
Yeah, same way you did before with me and I did
with you. Oh, okay. Okay, I guess I'll allow that.
So I'm going to pick another one, though. 12 Angry Men.
Another good choice.
All right, so let's go with 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men? Okay.
All right.
That's the original one, too.
Yeah.
You know, with Henry Fonda, Jack Klugman,
Lee
J. Cobb.
Lee J. Cobb.
Great cast in that. Yep. Oh, my God. Excellent cast in that.
Lee J. Cobb was great in that.
Is it Henry Fonda?
It's Henry Fonda.
It is Henry Fonda. Okay. I can remember exactly. My number four, The Man in the Glass Booth.
I don't know it.
Maximilian Schell starred in it. And it's about this wealthy Jewish man who is kidnapped by Mossad and accused of being actually a Nazi war criminal.
Okay.
And they put him on trial in Israel.
Okay.
And what happens with
that? What's it called?
The Man in the Glass Booth. It was actually a play written by actor Robert Shaw.
Don't know it.
It's a play I actually want to do because it's really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely great trial movie.
Okay.
Especially at the end. When the last like 10 minutes of the movie, you're like, wow.
All right.
Yeah. Good. So what's your number five?
My Cousin Vinny.
Ah, that was in my honorable mentions. I don't know how accurate of a trial it is, but it's a great comedy. And they had so much fun with that.
I'll tell you how accurate of a trial it is. It's used in law schools.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Oh my God.
It's used in law schools. I'm not a law school graduate. I'm not a law school attendee. So I don't know what goes on in law school. But apparently, it's the way the trial is followed.
Yes.
Like it's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's exactly what a trial would be. And it's used.
I mean, the way they introduce her as an expert witness and how they qualify her, that's all correct. That's exactly how it's done. You know, how you qualify an expert witness.
So, and that may be why they use it. Because I've never seen an expert witness qualified in a movie before. I don't know how that works.
Right?
I would agree.
Pretty much how they do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that movie.
It's a fun movie. It really is.
It's a fun, really, really well done. He's amazing in it.
Oh, Joe Pesci. And you got to love Fred Gwynne as a judge.
He's fabulous.
And Marissa Tomei winning the Oscar for that.
Yeah, dude, that's controversial.
Which was so controversial that people were not happy she won that for that role.
They think that whoever read it, read the wrong name.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but yeah, that's not true.
Okay. Anyway, she was adorable.
Good choice. My number five, The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
I know that movie.
With Tom Wilkinson playing a priest who is put on trial for murder for the death of a girl during an exorcism performance.
That's right.
Really, really well done. Because you never see that kind of an issue being put on trial.
Right.
And it was based on a true story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was really, really well done. I really, really enjoyed that.
Good.
But I also had an honorable mention. It was a TV miniseries called QB7. I was like 12 years old when it came out. Starred Anthony Hopkins and Ben Gazzara. And it's all about this Polish doctor who sues for defamation against this author, American author, who basically accuses him of committing war crimes as a doctor in a concentration camp.
Okay.
And it was like three nights that it lasted. It was like 6 hours altogether.
All right.
Really, really well. And this whole trial scene at the end where he's confronted with the evidence against him. And Anthony Hopkins is just amazing in this role. And this was like back in 74, this was.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I had to give an honorable mention to that. So now I guess we will move on to our final segment.
Get off my lawn. Did you hear me? I said get off my lawn now.
Yes, it's time for Grumpy Old Gay Man Gripe of the Week. What's your gripe this week? Is it that hard?
I don't do much. You know what I mean? I hardly leave the house.
But there must have been something that ticked you off this week.
Work. What ticked me off this week? I did not like the elimination on RuPaul's Drag Race 16. I did not like it. I didn't think it was appropriate.
Why?
Because it was between two girls, Plasma, who is awesome, very musical theater. You know, she Sutton Foster on Drag Race is pretty much who Plasma was. And Mystique, Majique, but it's somebody with an overly complicated spelling of a simple word for a name.
Yeah.
Okay. Mystique, or whatever it is. And what this bitch does is flips. So it's almost, she's been on the bottom four times, and she's had to lip sync to save her life four times. And she's won four times. But the only way she wins is by doing these backflips. But she's like unbeatable because she does these flips. She jumps off of high things. She does flips. She was in a gown Friday night.
Okay.
Doing backflips in a gown. And I remember thinking to myself when the lip sync started, she can't flip in that. She's wearing something that she can't flip in.
That's and odd.
Will she win if she can't flip? Bitch flipped.
Wow.
Flipped multiple times.
Holy shit.
Splits, flips, jumps into split. It's crazy. And I think that after the third time they're on the bottom, there should be an automatic, you're out of here. You know, four times.
I can see that.
And to send home Plasma, I was very upset.
Oh, no.
Very, very upset. Plasma was going to be in the top four for sure. And now you got this queen who don't know how to dress, so she has a neck. She's only 3 feet 5 inches tall, and she got no neck, and she wears fucking shit up to her chin all the time.
Really? Oh my god.
Yeah, she's I love her. But she's sent home Plasma, and for that I am mad.
Damn it.
Oh, damn it.
You better let Rue know.
I did.
You did let her know?
I did.
How did you let her know?
I posted it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not the only one.
I'm sure.
A whole bunch of people are pissed off.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She's going to do whatever
we want. Yeah, she's going to do whatever the fuck she wants anyway.
And God bless her. I can't wait for that book.
Did you hear about her bookstore? She opened some kind of like digital bookstore, and people went to the site. There's all these books promoting diversity and Libidaqua and everything. But there was also Mein Kampf and all these other right-wing books, and people were like, what the fuck? So I guess the owners of the site said, we want to present a diversity of views so people can be educated about the hate being expressed and everything, and that's why we did it.
I have no problem with Mein Kampf being available for sale.
I think people should read it. I read it in my teens.
I have a copy. I never got all the way through it, but I don't think it's, it should not be banned.
Yeah. But that made the news. I was like, ooh.
She's releasing a book, a memoir, which I can't wait for. I'm still in the middle of Barbara's memoir. Because I'm listening to it.
Okay.
And I have some feelings, but I want to wait till the end. I'm only on chapter 38.
Okay.
God knows what page it is. 997 pages.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so.
Well, my gripe of the week is with Facebook once again.
Why?
This morning, I wake up, go to my computer, go to Facebook. I get a message. Your content was removed. And I see this notice. I click on the notice. And it says, your content was removed because it appears that you were attracting likes, follows, etc. in a misleading way.
All right.
And I was like, what?
What was the post?
I don't even know.
They didn't show me
what the post was that they removed.
Okay. But they told them that you're being too shady here. We think you're lying to people to get likes.
Yeah.
Do they understand you're 75 years old and don't care about likes? Do they know that? Or
I don't know.
It seems weird to me. Like, unless you're telling people that you're 24, 6'3", and Italian, you're not really the kind of person that goes around. You're misinformed sometimes. Sometimes you miscount, but you don't necessarily lie on purpose.
No, of course not.
You don't do that.
Right. I was just like, I could not. I was like, don't you guys at Facebook have anything else better to do? You keep me on your radar now because I'm a past Facebook felon.
You understand it's an algorithm, right?
I know.
They're going to just, and it's nobody's deciding. It's, if a person was deciding, those kind of mistakes wouldn't be made. And it's hard enough because when you're dealing with writing, you can't tell, you can't translate inflection.
No.
Sarcasm does not.
Oh, God, no. Nope.
So
I thought you can't use the word kill anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's so weird. No matter where I read shit, there are certain words that they, I guess they're trigger words.
Yeah.
That they either...
I had content once removed because I used the word kill in it.
Okay. I had something to... I was warned for, old man, you give those dogs another piece of my food, I'm going to kick you till you're dead. I got banned for that.
Are you serious?
No, I absolutely did. That was violence. And there's 100 ways you can look at that sentence and say that it's violent. You know, but it's out of context if you're going to judge it like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so.
Anyway.
Fucking Facebook.
Fucking Facebook. And there is no more Twitter.
Oh, we don't even use Twitter anymore.
I love Twitter. I always liked Twitter. I was a big fan of Twitter. And now I just
have... Now I just read about his policy now, basically allowing dead naming and misgendering of trans people on Twitter. All other social media prohibits that. Right. He just made it clear, no, we're not prohibiting that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't use Twitter anymore.
It's good for porn links. So, anyway, what else?
That's it. We are now at the end of our show. Aren't you lucky?
I am. What time is it?
It's early, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. It's only 25 past 9.
This is what happens when we start early.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we want to thank my producer and husband, Steven, for bringing in cookies for us.
He's a good boy.
Yes, he is. And we want to remind you that you can find all of our episodes at www.grumpyoldgameandtheirdogs.com. And, of course, you can follow our postings on Facebook. And if there's anything else, I can't think of it. But we'll be back here next week.
Same bat time,
same bat channel.
What else?
Anything else, Steven, I should mention?
I need to have an end of the show rant.
What show is opening on Friday?
Oh, yes. We talked about that earlier. Yes. The show Rabbit Hole is opening this Friday at the South Shore Theater Experience on Wellwood Avenue in Lindenhurst.
And it's not about a colonoscopy.
No, it's not about a colonoscopy. But the play opens...
If you want reservations, call 631-669-0506.
Yes, thank you so much,
Steven. Leave a message on it. Your name, your phone number, and how many tickets and what day you want them.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And the show will run all this weekend. And then next week from Thursday, March 14th to Saturday, March 16th. So that's it, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Give me my cue.
On that note, we'll say have a good night, have a good week, have a good life, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, bitches.